Hello, it's Dr. Jane here with another 10-minute positive mental health podcast. Now, today's podcast is going to be about hoarding, or more to the point, people that have lived with hoarders and are living with hoarders. I'm going to illustrate it with a lady who I saw quite a few years ago, and we'll call her Kathy. And she herself was a hoarder. Now, the reason, she was quite an elderly lady. She'd been brought up in the East End of London, pre-war and during the war. And although it's all terribly trendy and, super hipstery all these days, the East End of London for many, many years was just a complete slum. It really was. And this woman had been brought up in a big family. She was, I think there were about seven or eight of them. And she was kind of midway or so. And she had been brought up in this family, and she had just had nothing, absolutely nothing. She tells, I can remember her telling stories about how when she'd go to school in really grubby clothes that were all falling apart. It seemed that her mum had certain issues as well that were going on, but also she just wasn't really very well looked after. So she had nothing. And when she got older, she was very keen to hold on to stuff because she just hadn't had things when she was younger. So subsequently, as sort of like, time had gone on, even when, she'd got married, she'd had children, she'd moved out of London into the country a little bit. But gradually, over time, her house just completely filled up with stuff. It was, she just couldn't throw anything away. And when she was encouraged to, or, people would ask her to, or try and sort it out. And again, these were the days before, she it was even given a name. She used to get really bad anxiety. Logically, she knew that she couldn't have a room full up with newspapers and magazines. But her anxiety got so much that she just could not throw anything away. And she couldn't organise stuff. She liked sewing. But, I remember talking to her, and she said that she hadn't sewn or knitted for years because she could never find anything. It was all over the place. She was very indecisive about where she was going to, if she was going to do anything. In a way, she'd kind of had an okay life. She'd got married, she'd had kids. But there was always something missing in her life. It was due to her anxieties and her hoarding that it was kind of the result of these anxieties. She used to get a bit cross if people tried to help her. Sometimes one of her children would come along and say, "Mum, just, put all this stuff in a bin bag and I'll get it down to the dump or the charity shop." And she used to get really cross with them for doing that. And then she also used to keep a hold of things. She used to keep hold of lots of stuff that reminded her of when her children were young, even though they were all grown adults. Because I think, this was all to do with her complete lack of stuff when she was a child. And it was difficult for her children. I saw this lady with one of her children and, an older daughter. And she said it was really difficult growing up with a house just crammed with stuff. And you could never move anywhere. And any room, she said at one point, it got so bad. There was almost like an entry through one of the rooms with just piles and piles of papers, newspapers, because Kathy just could not bear to throw away something that she had bought because money had been so scarce for her and it had been so ingrained with her that she couldn't do this. It used to affect the dynamics of the household because on one hand you'd have some children saying, "Oh, just leave her, she'll get over it, it'll be fine." And then you had other children that would want to help her. They would want to help the situation. Then she was resistant to having anybody do anything. There was one time where they kind of, during the summer, she agreed that they could lay lots of the stuff in the house out on the lawn, and then she could actually see it in a context that it wasn't just in the corner of a room or filling up a room. And hopefully that would spur her to make a decision about what she could keep and what she wouldn't want to keep. But all she did, she would just go through it. She would pick up a toy or an ornament. A mug with a broken handle was one of the things that her daughter particularly remembers. And when we were talking within the session, then Kathy would say that she still got that mug, or up until very recently, because she was doing a really lot of good work to help herself. But up until very recently, that she still had that mug. And the reason, and you'd say, why would you keep that mug? It's got a broken handle, it's got no use to anybody. And she'd always say two things, that it reminded her of something. It was a mug that had been bought on a day out or on a holiday, and it specifically reminded her of something. Or, yes, it was a mug with a broken handle, but it had a use. It could, you could put pens in it. You could, you know, it could be used for something or other. And there's always that thought. That's the problem about hoarding. You always think that something at some point will always have a use, and you can't bear to throw things away. Now, we've all been in this situation. I know I have. When you chuck stuff out and then, you know, kind of Sod's Law is about a week later or something, you think, I could have just done with that, whatever it is I just chucked out, you know, a pair of wellies, say, for instance. I remember doing that, thinking, I haven't worn these wellies for months. I'll lob them out, I'll give them to the charity shop, somebody can get use over them. And then lo and behold, literally a week, month later, I really needed a pair of wellies. And you slightly kick yourself for doing it. But do you know, it's not the end of the world. I did not go out and buy another pair of wellies. I can't remember. I wore an old pair of trainers and washed them afterwards or chucked them out afterwards or something. But there is that fear that the thing that you have, no matter what it is, pair of wellies in my case, mug and many, many other things in Kathy's case, you will always want to use the thing, or it will become useful to you or to somebody else. And hoarding is something that I think a lot of people really fight with all the time. You don't want to get rid of stuff that has memories associated with it, especially if it's nice memories. You don't want to get rid of the stuff, or you don't want to get rid of the stuff that you really do feel will either be useful to you or to somebody else at some point in their life. But you have to be logical about this. You cannot have a house full up of stuff, because what you're going to end up with, and this is what happened with Kathy, you will have a house full up of stuff, but you won't have a house with any people in it, because as soon as they get old enough, as Kathy's children did, they left home. They couldn't stand the mess anymore. Her husband, he kind of tolerated it. He kind of retreated to his garden shed. And, you know, going by what their daughter said as well, to be perfectly honest, he wasn't so far off it himself. You know, the shed was a bit of a mess. It wasn't as if you walked in there and every single screw was in the right place and, you know, all the tools were hanging up or anything. It wasn't like that. It was a bit of a mess as well. So I think, you know, there was a bit of enabling going on between Kathy and her husband. He wasn't as bad as her, but all the time she was worse than him. Then he was kind of satisfied that he wasn't too bad and he could just carry on his merry way. So there wasn't a lot of challenging going on from him, challenging in a nice way to get things done. So what did we do? In the end, she agreed that she would go through stuff, and it started paying dividends. She would put stuff out, and, you know, with the help of her children, she would put stuff. She kind of had to do it in sections. So she would put stuff in boxes. The boxes would go in the garage, and then eventually one of her children would come along and take the boxes, take the bags away. And she was proving to herself that the stuff that she'd actually got out of the house, out of her sight. That's the important thing. It was out of her sight, so it was no longer in her kind of, you know, peripheral vision, but also it wasn't always in her thoughts or in her minds that, oh, I mustn't throw that broken pen away because I might need it. I mustn't throw those piles of newspapers away because at some point I might need them. She never needed them. She knew she didn't, but it was a bit hard for her to begin with. So we have to be a bit gentle about this, to throw everything out. You can do it, you know, that's kind of what we call a flooding technique, but like kind of doing it gradually is a little bit better. Now, of course, the danger is that then people will kind of put the stuff in the garage, and then, you know, people might kind of go running out and retrieve it. And that does happen in some cases, but often, more often than not, it's kind of having made that kind of contemplated decision that it is going is useful. And then soon after what happened with Kathy, she was actually able to take the stuff and get rid of it herself. She found it really, to begin with, anxiety producing. And she went to her local rubbish tip and she would take stuff up there and she would see tons of stuff that she could just, you know, from other people's rubbish, that she would just think, well, that table's only got a slightly broken leg. I could take that back and it might be of use. But she kind of did it, you know, I think her daughter knew that was potentially going to be the case. So she actually made sure that she went with her and said no. And then that moment of, I must have it, I can use it. As they're driving out, it's gone, it's finished with, and it hasn't become another issue. And it was then reflected on and reflected back to Kathy that she could do this. And she found that tremendously useful. So I left her with kind of still working through her house. She was getting great benefits. People were starting to come round and visit. And the husband, you know, locked away in his shed, kind of, because as I say, there was this kind of enabling, you know, this duality going on between them without them both knowing it, without kind of being asked or anything, because the shed was in the garden, it was kind of out of the house and not anybody else's domain. He started to tidy up as well, as because he didn't want to then be the one that had the issue, the problem, the hoarder or anything. So he started actually kind of, you know, raising his game a little bit. So if you are a hoarder and you live with a hoarder, there is hope. There's stuff out there on the internet. Have a look at tips and things. Be gentle. Don't just be kind of very right, you have to do this and that's there. But be assertive without being aggressive with people, and make sure that stuff is followed through. And, you know, often people, especially when they're family members, they need help and they need support. And if you get to the point where you're not getting anywhere with somebody, then you know, as the family member, you withdraw and you say to them, I'll be ready when you're ready. But at the moment, I'm withdrawing from this and I'm going to leave you to it. Kind of some people's anxiety will want that, but because you are withdrawing yourself, a lot of people will not be threatened by it, but a lot of people will kind of want to do the thing to make sure that you're still in their life, because, of course, you know, you're their family and they want to see you. I have been Dr. Jane, and this has been a 10-minute positive mental health podcast. There's plenty more on the library if you have a look at drjane.co.uk/podcasts, and I will speak to you again very, very soon.